Blog Talk Radio.
That you had a wonderful night's rest and that you are ready to move forward in the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word this morning. We are coming out of the book of Luke. We are coming out of Psalms. We are coming out of Proverbs. And God willing, we may even get into Samuel this morning. God is good, and his mercy endures forever and all times. I am so very grateful to be awake this morning. I was tired. You know how we can run and run and run and wear ourselves out. And I have been running all weekend. I always laugh. I say Saturday is my day off, but it actually is a day of work for God, because I don't think I had one moment of rest yesterday. It was all doing the work that God has called me to do, from meetings to practices and grandchildren and all things, and it was all fun. Hallelujah. I am thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a woman of God and to walk in his way and not in my own. I just thank God for all of you for joining me this morning. And what we're going to do is go over some things from our word on Friday in Samuel. We're going to go over some life lessons and hearing the voice of God. We're going to do all the life lessons again from 1 Samuel chapter 4 through 5. And then we're going to get into our New Testament work this morning. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, I am thankful to be a child of God. Father God, I pray that my faith is not just words, but that it is not just works, but that it is a trust and a belief that all things are possible through you, that you, oh, of my life, you, oh God, are in charge of everything that is in me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that is with us wherever we go. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty word that you left us. These instructions on how to live life to the full, how to be great and gracious, how to be good and kind, how to be loving and giving, how to be men and women who love their neighbor as they love themselves, but more important, love you, oh God, above anything else. Father, I am so thankful for your son who loved us enough to come into this wicked, deceitful, awful world and take our sins to the cross so that we may have opportunity for eternal life. Father God, let the word wash over us with his living water. For we know that he is the truth and that he is the and that no one, not me, not anyone, can come to you but through him. Jesus, I thank you for being my Lord and Savior, for giving your life for me, for giving your blood for me, for giving me a hope in the future, and knowing that I am loved because I am your child. Thank you, Father God, for the word that we are about to read today. May it touch their mind. May it touch their spirit. And as always, Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting and knowing that you, O God, are in charge. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thanking God for his grace. Thanking God for his son. Many of our churches on today, communion, remembering the blood of Jesus, remembering his body in remembrance of him. We take the elements. Let us not take them for granted. Let us examine our hearts, our minds, and our spirits before we take that cup of wine. Before we do any of these things in remembrance of our Savior, let us examine ourselves. Are we living right? Are we doing right? Ask God to forgive you if you said anything to hurt someone, if you've done anything to cause a brother or a sister to stumble. Repent and ask God to forgive you. For all things are working for our good when we believe and trust in God. Let's get started in our word this morning. It is powerful. As we know, on Friday, we're in our second day of 1 Samuel. And the one thing that we found out is that the children of Israel had taken the Ark of the Covenant into battle. You know, the sons of Eli had decided, and that's Benai and Phinehas, had taken the ark into battle with the Philistines, and they both died. Just as the little boy Samuel told Eli, this is what God said is going to happen. Your children are going to die, and so are you. And so they took the ark, and it says, this is what the life lesson for Samuel chapter 4, verse 3 is. It says, let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that it may save us from the hands of our enemies. No religious artifact or ceremony, no matter how sacred, can rescue us. Israel's leaders thought that the ark of the covenant could save them, but it had no power to do so. God alone rescued. They thought that, oh, if we bring this artifact into the midst of this fight, it's going to save us. The artifact, not the God that it represents. It is not the cross you wear that saves you. It's the one who died on it. We have to stop putting stuff ahead of God. And be careful that we don't become idolaters. Worshiping statues truly don't represent Jesus. Worshiping crosses that are just an artifact. It's just a reminder that Jesus died for me. It's just a reminder that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And as we continue in the life lesson, it says, learning to hear God's voice. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, as one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament, it's no coincidence that Samuel's first divine assignment for him to learn how to hear God's voice, to recognize it for what it was. So many times we think we're hearing the voice of God when it's the voice of the enemy. And how do you know the difference? Did what I do from that voice help me or hurt me? If it hurt you, it's not God's voice. It's the voice of the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake. Because when you start to do what you need to do for God and things start falling into place and working out, he slithers in to create confusion, to recreate all the things that don't make any sense. And when you look back and you say, Lord, why did I do that? I thought, and you hear God say, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. We have to learn to discern the voice of the enemy pretending to be God and God. Because the voice of the enemy, he's not going to do anything but hurt you. God will put every kind of stumbling block in front of you to get your attention, to say, this is not what I want you to do. But we just lolly-dolly-da, follow right along with of the enemy to our detriment because we didn't have faith in God. And now you're worse off than you were before the so-called voice of God spoke to you. That's when you know. And we have to be like Samuel, learn to know the voice of God. And I have had to say, Lord, forgive me for messing up, thinking I'm hearing your voice, and it's not yours. If it's working for your good, God's voice. If in the long run it hurts you, the voice of the enemy. You got to let it say, not today. I'm not listening to you. Get away from me. You know, I was listening to someone talking about get away from me, Satan. And then when you stop and you look and you're thinking, you're the one that's acting more like Satan. As you're telling Satan to get away from you, you need to be telling them because you're acting like it. You know, folks being just every time you see them, you want to go the opposite direction because they can disrupt everything that's going on. Disrupt meetings, disrupt all kind of things for God. They disrupt it. But think that they are holier than ground they walking on when they in the house of God. But they just negative. And that brings the spirit down. And then as we continue in this word today, it says, as 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10 tells us, a young Samuel entrusted to the care of Eli the priest was lying down one evening when the Lord spoke. At first, Samuel didn't know who he was hearing. He thought Eli was calling him, but finally, after Eli told Samuel three times that he hadn't called, Eli realized that it was the Lord, so he instructed the boy to respond, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Isn't that a beautiful way to answer God? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God, and Samuel became established as God's prophet. So when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and Eli and his two sons died, Samuel knew what to do, and Israel knew who to listen to. In the midst of great turmoil, Samuel was able to hear the voice of the one he loved and served faithfully. If we're going to be men and women of God, we too must learn how to recognize God's efforts to speak to us. However, we can't wait until the millstone strikes to do so. It's when we lie restfully in the quiet moments that we should turn our attention to God and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears, because it's in those tranquil moments that we can embrace the one who calls to us, and that he can teach our hearts to love and obey him. 5, verse 2, when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, which was their fake god, their little g. The Philistines placed the ark of the covenant in the temple of Dagon to show that their god had triumphed over Israel's god. However, God himself fantastically strong, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, and show that he was the only true God in the room. When they walked in there, that doggone stone idol was had his face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant, Don't mess with God. 1 Samuel 5, 9, the Lord against the city was a great destruction. The Lord wanted the Philistines to know what had happened did not occur by chance, but that he had been behind it all. God desired that the whole world acknowledge his glory, and he wants us to display it. We got to know who we belong to. And that is the overview of our word for 5 in chapter 6. Life lessons is this. It says, he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. They looked in. You know, I'm going to see what's up in. Let's see what's going on in this box that Israel thinks is all that. It ain't all that. And what happened? Yep. Don't mess with God. And we're going to get into that word really quick. We read it on Friday, but I just wanted to kind of hit a couple of overviews from that lesson. And it says, in his grace, God brought the ark back to Israel, but in his holiness, he struck down some Israelites who treated the ark as a curiosity rather than as a symbol of glory. So look at that. Let's just see what's going on in this box. You know, it's like, don't do that. Do not touch the box. But we're going to look inside and just kind of see what's going on. And this is what it says in verse 19. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh says, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab, consecrated Elijah, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Don't be meddling in what you don't know. You got these children and all these people out there dibbling and dabbling in the occult, not understanding. You are opening doors that you cannot close without the Lord God, without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You dibbling and dabbling in the unknown, you better leave it alone. Just like they thought, oh, this is just a box that our ancestors carried. It's no big deal. Until how many of them, what did it say? 50,070 men died because they was nosy, meddling where they didn't have no business. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign God. God demands and desires our exclusive loyalty and love. He made us for himself, and we have no higher calling than to draw near to him. Who is our God? It's only one. And this is what it says. How can I know it's God's voice I hear and not something else? I just spoke on that. If it's to your detriment, I can say this. This is not Dr. Stanley. This is me saying. If it is to your detriment, if you are worse off than you were before you heard that voice, it probably was not God's voice. If that voice caused you to stumble and fall, But the only thing that got you up was hearing another voice. You know that the first voice was the counterfeit and not God's voice. Because the enemy likes to pretend. He wants to be God, but he can't be God. We got to ask God, Lord, give me discernment to hear your voice. And this is what it says. The book of First Samuel describes how the boy Samuel came to hear and understand the spoken word of God. The Bible records that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Samuel, therefore, had to learn how to recognize the voice of God and not get it mixed up with ideas that conflict with the Lord's true character. Ideas that conflict with the Lord's character. And that you're not talking to yourself thinking you're listening to the voice of God. Samuel not only learned to clearly hear the words, 3 and 19 and 20, because the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. This was extremely important because when God called Israel to repentance, he sent his word through Samuel. Samuel declared, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Because of Samuel's obedience, Israel returned to the Lord and the nation enjoy peace. Although Samuel learned to hear God's voice clearly, we sometimes let our preconceptions about God influence what we think we hear from him. If, for instance, we think of God as wise and caring counselor, we will be open to the love he has for us in the midst of calamities brought on by our own foolishness. Come on now. If, however, we think of God as a vindictive judge, we will expect to hear words of condemnation and harsh punishment when we act foolishly. Our relationship with God influences how we hear God. If we approach God as his saved children living under his grace, then we come with the assurance that he will speak the words we really need, even if they are not what we want to hear. When we know him as an infinite loving God, then it's easier for us to believe everything he says. Unfortunately, too many Christians fall for twisted conceptions of God that misrepresent our gracious, consistent, patient, trustworthy Father. We've all heard too many unbiblical ideas offered as if they were gospel truth. And such error can lead us into horrible emotional and spiritual bondage. That's why our view of God must remain correct and biblically informed by knowing him as God of love, 1 John 4 and 8. And let me get 1 John 4 and 8. And I'll be coming out of Amplified Bible. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it said, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. And it says, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, for God is love. Who wants us to approach the throne of grace boldly? We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it says, seeing then that the promise remains, enter that rest, and that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity failed to appreciate it and did not enter because of disobedience. We will trust him more completely no matter what he directs us to do. We've got to do what God says do. And this is what it says, Hebrews chapter 4 and 3. I'm going to get 4 and 3 also, and I think I read the wrong one. I should have read 16, which says, let us stand fiercely and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good times for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. I believe that. I believe God gives us what we need when we need it. We will trust him more completely no matter what he directs us to do. Therefore, we should take the advice of 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and test whatever we hear against the truth of Scripture. That way we'll always know whether we're hearing God's voice or not. Test it with Scripture. If it don't follow in the Word, it's not God's voice. And that is the best way to say it, is it is not the voice of God if it does not fall in line with Scripture. So let's get into some Word this morning. We have had an awesome overview of 1 Samuel chapters 5-7. It has been great. And this is what Psalms 54:1-7 tells us. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil, cut them off in their truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen it desire upon my enemies. Proverbs 15:12-13. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. 4:6. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. What does it mean to freely sacrifice to God? It means that we willingly and gladly put something precious to ours, of ours, on the line for God, knowing that it belongs to him and that we can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. God is always there. He's always with us, and we cannot outgive him. He gave you life. You can't give life. We as women, yes, we bring a life into the world through our womb, but understand that when that child comes out, bam, that little spank on the rear, and that, it's the breath of life that only God can give. That doctor's making it smack in that bottom. It's not what brings that breath in life. It's when they come out and the fresh air or that sterile room. And God says, okay, creation. We are God's beautiful creation. We have to walk in it. Walk in his love. Walk in his grace. Walk in his mercy. Walk with God. And watch him work in your life. But there's nothing like our God. There's no one like our God. Thank him today. Our New Testament word this morning comes out of Luke 21. And it says this, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Put a pin there. So many times we have folks following after and moving around with false prophets and teachers. They're out there selling their miracle cures, speaking lies, prophesying, and profiting off of people of God. We have to be careful. We have to be prayed up. Prayer is important, and it does change the course of our life and destination. We got to pray. Sister Carolyn said it on Friday. We got to get on them knees. Bad knees and all. Get you a prayer pillow. But we got to learn to get on the knees and pray and supplicate and ask God, Father, no other name I know. If y'all would draw thyself from me. We don't want God to draw from us. We got to pray. Be careful who you follow after. Be careful who you give your money to. Be careful what you do and what you think is the name of the Lord. I've been lied to by proper liars. And I know they lied because I've seen the devastating results of their lie. You know it's a right prophet when what they say is to your benefit. $5.95, $500.95, $5,000.95. Make sure you have that five and the 95 cents, and I will send you this bottle of prayer oil and this prayer cloth that came all the way from Israel and this water that came out of the Jordan. Yeah. Out of the Jordan household and out of the tap water. You know, come on now. And no offense to anybody named Jordan, so please don't take it that way. But the bottom line is, folks, we got to be careful. They're out there on TV. They was telling us all kind of lies about everything. And some are still doubling down on the lie because they don't want to admit they were wrong. You got to understand, God will show you a proper liar in a minute. It may take some time, but he will show you. We got to be careful. We can't be like the followers of Jim Jones and wind up in a jungle dead. Because we drunk the Kool-Aid. Be careful who you follow after. And it goes on to tell us, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Wars and rumors of wars. Come on, y'all. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven. We just saw a pink moon the other night. A pink moon, by the way, the sun reflected and, you know, whatever NASA was saying, it looked pink. And then when some people took it, it looked kind of yellow. You know, the moon was showing out on the other night. I got a pink moon over the lake, and it was so pretty. You know, and I'm sure that it was all reflection, but it was still pretty. You know, signs from heaven. But I'm not worshiping the moon. I'm not worshiping the sun. I'm not worshiping anything but the Most High God through his Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm doing a Bible study on faith, you know, because we got to have it. You know, I have faith. I put faith on my car. That's my car's name. It's faith. Because I drive on faith every time I get inside. It's faith that God will get me from one destination to the next without any trouble. It's faith that I can make my car payment. It's faith that not one person I pick up, that when they get out of my car, they will feel different because my car is prayed up. I pray, I fast closet. And when you come in, you better feel the presence. You will feel the presence of God. Because believe me, I done cried, I done shouted, I done spoke, I done sang, I done did it all. Because that's the one place where it's quiet with no distractions. When I pull into my garage and cut off the engine and shut out the noise, I can hear God speak to me. We gotta have, I can just tune out the voice of everybody so we can hear God. We gotta have a Samuel in our heart. Speak, Lord. And this is what verse 12 of Luke chapter 21 says. It says, but before all these things, they will lie their hands on you and persecute you. They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to be to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as a testimony. Therefore, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your soul. Patience, possess your soul. These are some life lessons from this word this morning. It says, it will turn out for you as a vocation, a testimony. Just as the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul turned out to be divine opportunity to testify to the gospel of Christ. Paul knew he was going to die. Paul wrote most of the New Testament from a prison cell. You think that through in a jail cell, waiting to die. Most of these words were written in detriment by the apostles, and they all died horrible deaths by John. And they tried to kill John. So boil him in oil, it didn't work. So they said, I'll just send him to Patmos. And what did he do? Wrote one of the greatest books of the Bible from a prison island. Think that through. Patmos prison island that he wrote Revelation. Paul, in a jail cell in Rome, wrote most of the Gospels. Not the Gospels, wrote most of the New Testament, starting in Acts. And I'm going to go over to a couple of Paul's books in just a minute, just so God would use persecutions to make his word known. Join with me as we go over to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Again, Acts chapter 9. The message this morning, as always, the word of God is true. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And it says this, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now understand, this is after Paul was blinded on the Damascus road, and Jesus is talking in the spirit to Ananias. You know, and that's like, I don't want to be bothered with this man. And this is what said that in it. This is what Jesus said. And this is such a great word. And Ananias baptized Saul. And we're going to start at verse 10. And we're going to get to this word one day soon. And it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, the Straight Street, that's what I like to say, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he is praying, and in a vision he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. And then we're going to go back to that word one more time. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight once, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And that's in context. You know, so many times folks will read you a word out of context. We got to make sure that when we read the scripture or even hear it in church, go home, read it yourself, and get it in context. Because sometimes the word is spoken out of context, and we hear one thing when the meaning is something totally different. So be careful what you listen to. Get it in context. And we're going to go over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And it says this, and this is Christ is preached. But I want you to know, brother, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, and this is Paul speaking, so that it has become evident to the whole palace, God, and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Come on now. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Preach Christ from selfish ambition. Are y'all hearing that? I'm going to read that again. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I am will rejoice. Even a sinner can preach Jesus. There will be many that will come and say, Lord, I did. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, you did, but nope, I don't know you. We want to be known by the Lord. We want to be known by the Savior. We want to be known as men and women of God. And Luke chapter 21, verse 18, and this is our last word for this morning. And if there's anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. And push the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open. And Luke chapter 21, verse 18, not a hair of your head shall be lost. Jesus said that though his followers might lose their lives for his sake, yet not a hair of their head would perish. He meant that nothing was left up to chance or accident, and that he was always, I say it again, he was always one for the Holy Spirit. He was always, always remained in control. He was always. He is always. He would be always. He would always be in control. Understand. We are sons and daughters of God. And the Lord knows us by name, and he knows every hair on your head. Keep God first in everything you do, and watch him work in your life. The Lord loves you. He cares about you, and he wants the best for you. But God is not a man, and he does not lie. Thanking God for his word this morning. Thanking God for each and every one of you. And as we say every day, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And tomorrow we will be doing, again, a kind of special way. We'll be doing 1 Samuel chapter 9. And we will be in the New Testament. Actually, it will be a shorter word tomorrow. We will be in, Psalms chapter 55, verses 1 through 8 tomorrow, as well as Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14. And we will be in Luke chapter 21, verses 22-38. I have to be at work a little earlier, so we will have a shorter show on Monday. And from this point on, we will have a shorter show on Mondays. We will probably be about a half an hour. So for those that have prayer, you'll be able to go to your prayer services. We will be from about 7 to 7:30 or 7:45 on Mondays and Thursdays starting this week. And we will also be doing some little things differently as we go through the next weeks because my work changed slightly. But the word of God will go forth, and it will go forth in excellence as always. And I thank God so much for his love and for his grace and for his mercy to give us this wonderful word. Thank you, God, for his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's anyone that would like to speak again, please push the number 1 on your phone. We have had a great word this morning. And the title again is, Then They Will See the Son of Man Coming in the Cloud with Power and Great Glory. And our line is open for 3546.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a word that is in my heart. For the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Our shepherd is our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, because he loved us And I thank God that I know the voice of God, because when God woke me up early this morning about 1:52, I heard a voice, but it was not the voice of God. So I thank God for God speaking through you, my sister in Christ, Minister Bridget, because we have to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, stay in tune in the presence of the Lord, so that we will have that discernment to know when the Holy Spirit, Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is speaking to us, because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't love us. He don't want us to move forward. He wants us to take whatever comes our way, but God is the best, and he gives us the best. So I thank God for the voice of God, because if I didn't know the voice of God, I would have believed the lie that the devil told me on this morning. Because I know that I know that I know that going forth at the table, our praise and worship is true unto our Father who art in heaven. That's all I have, and God bless everyone. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. And I just want to introduce to some, present to others, a mighty woman of God. I call her a prayer warrior. You know, when I need to get a prayer through, she's one of the people that I call, because I know that she is in tune and she is always on her face. She is in the threshing floor. She is in her closet. She is lifting up the name of Jesus and all those that are in need of a word from God. So I thank you, my sister. We're going to continue. God put in my spirit, he said, daughter, you was reading, you got all excited. You got to read some more. So we are a little bit over today, but I'm going to read what God told me to read, which is where our title comes from this morning. I got all excited in Samuel that God said, you're forgetting the rest of Luke that you're supposed to read. So I'm going to read the rest of Luke, sister. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 38, which is where our title comes from this morning. So let's keep it moving, and then we will be wrapping it up in about 5 or 10 more minutes. So I thank God for each of you, and I thank you, powerful woman of God, for listening to the voice of God and knowing that you are a power warrior. You are in the army of God, and that every time you are on your knees in supplication, in prayer for a brother, for a sister, for a family member, for the stranger standing on the street, but you pray for everybody. And I just want to thank you. I'm giving some accolades this morning. You know, this woman of God has a ministry that she every month gives to the poor. She gives to prisoners. She has a prison ministry, where she sends out daily bread to every inmate that needs one. God will put someone a name. He'll just give her a name, and she'll say, "Can you look up this name and see if it's somebody with the name and what is their number and where are they located? Because God gave me the name."
Hallelujah.
And sure enough, it's somebody out there with that name that's in prison.
Hallelujah.
And she sends them a daily bread. And she gets back feedback that somebody got saved from getting that word of God.
Hallelujah.
We got the voice of God. I would not be doing this blog, getting this word out every day, Sunday through Friday, if God had not spoken and said, somebody's getting saved from this word, daughter. Because I've had the enemy say, oh, you don't need to do that. Go on and go to sleep. You know, just ignore that stuff. You know, they can read the Bible themselves. You know, folks don't need you to read them the Bible. They can do it themselves. And that was not God. That was the enemy. God has taken this word and elevated it, because it is so important in this day and in this time, the word of God get out. So my sister, every daily bread that you send out is the word of God going out to set a captive free, to set them spiritually free. So don't you get tired of well-doing for God, because in due season, I guarantee you, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this mighty woman of God and her prayers.
Hallelujah.
And her supplications for those that need her and need a word. Thank you, Evangelist. She evangelized. She and her granddaughter will be out there in the thick and the thin with their daily words, passing them out to the homeless, to those that feel helpless, to somebody that they just might meet in the doctor's office, has been praying for a word from God, and this little lady comes in with this little girl, and she'll say, she'll look at them, she'll feel something, and she'll say, do you mind if I give you a daily word? And the joy of the Lord lights up her face. Even on yesterday, in the house of God, somebody looked, said, oh, can I have one of these? She had a daily word, had a daily bread. And even we need a daily bread, too. So I thank God for your ministry, and I thank God for you speaking this morning that it is the truth. We must discern and know the voice of God. Thank you so much. Yes. Let's get in our words before our time runs out this morning, because we got to go to church and we got to be there early. So let's be there at 10 o'clock today. So we got some work to do, and I tell God, thank you. It's going to all work out for our good. Have a blessed day, family. Let's get back into the word coming out of Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 38. And at the ending of these words, we will have also, another psalm in Proverbs, and then we will be done. So thank you so much, sister, for speaking, because that was the first section. Now we're getting ready to get into the next section, which is the title of our word. And the word again is this: then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We got to be careful. It goes back to discerning, being careful of those that will come, the fakes and the phonies, trying to say that they come from God, when in fact they are not his children. So let's get in that word, and it says this: but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, understand this, y'all. We are living in some troubled times. And this has happened. This happened after Jesus, the destruction of Jerusalem. It happened then, and we have to be careful and watch as well as pray, because the word of God, generations that may be after this generation. And it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it is desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country ever enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Can we speak this? Come on, y'all. Can we say crusades? Can we say crusades? Can we say the Arab destruction of Israel? Can we say the dome on the rock? How do you think it got built? Was because Jerusalem was destroyed and it was taken over. It's been moved and destroyed and taken over, just as Jesus said. And this is after Jesus. We better understand some serious stuff. This word is true. Everything written in this word is true. And it goes on to tell us, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing, them from fear and the expectations of those things, powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Look up and lift up your head because your redemption draws near. Did it say look to the left? Did it say look to the right? Did it say look behind you or look in front of you? It does not say that. It says look up. We got to look up because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And I say that again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You know, we always hear the watch, therefore, and pray always. But we got to finally put it in context, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Jesus was in prayer. Ooh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Luke 21:34, life lesson. Take heed to yourselves lest that day come on you unexpectedly. A constant awareness that the Lord could return at any time keeps us spiritually alert and helps to make us productive for the kingdom of God. When we forget about the second coming, we become spiritually lazy. And that's all of us. We forget that no man is promised tomorrow. We got to get our house in order today. And I'm not speaking to anybody but myself. We got to start working the work God has called us to do. Luke 21:36. Pray always. There's my sister. That's for you, Minister Shannon. Pray always that you may be counted worthy. All these things that will come to pass. God himself instructs us to pray that we might escape certain kinds of trials and tribulations. We need faith. There's that word for me, to bear up under suffering. We need faith to pray that God might spare us unnecessary suffering. We got to have faith. We got to believe. And this is what Proverbs says, Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. We got to be careful that we don't follow foolishness. We got to feed on knowledge. We got to study this word and meditate on it day and night so we know that we know that we know the word of God, because the enemy, he knows it. He knows it better than we'll ever know it. And you got to have discernment. That is the word being twisted around, or is it the true word of God? That's why, read it yourself. Read it yourself in context. Because somebody can come behind and just give you a two-sentence word and preach a whole sermon, and you have no idea what the context of that word was. Read it yourself. And this is a word from Psalm chapter 55, verses 1 through 8, and it says this: give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. David could pray. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and mourn noisily because of the voice of the enemy. Come on now. Because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David could pray. And then we're going to continue in 55, verse 9 through 15. And it says this: destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. That's just like he's talking today. We've seen violence and strife in all of our cities. And it says, day and night they go around on it, its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. Come on now. It's like he's talking today. But it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. You know, David was running for his life from Saul. He was running for his life. And it says this: to the chief musician with string instruments, a contemplation of David. We got to understand David was going through. And we're getting ready to start talking about David and Samuel. So we got a lot of word coming up, and it is good. You know, we are just, whew, it's good. That's all I can say. So join me tomorrow morning as we go through 1 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 8 through 9. And, ooh, all I can say is it is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thanking God for each of you. Thanking you, sister and minister, my sister and my friend, you know, for coming on and speaking this morning on the voice of God, because it's crucial for us to hear God's voice and to discern it from the voice of the enemy. So thank you so much, family, for joining me this morning. This is all I have. I thank God that he has given us great word today and something to think about. And so as we get ready to wrap it up, my sister in Christ, minister, sister, evangelist, are you still on this morning?
I'm here.
Okay. What God has put on my heart is to let you pray, but give me just a moment for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we're going to ask our sister in Christ to pray us out this morning. And you know how God do it, y'all. My favorite, and I mean, this is the scripture that I stand on. This is the scripture that the women's ministry that I direct came from. Now I'm getting filled up. And it came from this scripture that we read. Because y'all know I get all giddy for Joshua and, you know, the sun standing still. But this scripture, this word that my sister in Christ sent out this morning, 4:30 a.m., God woke her up. And I believe this word for it's for me. And it says simply, I'm getting filled up. have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do
Amen.
Not be dismayed, for the
yes.
Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. That's my
yes,
scripture. That's
yes.
my faith scripture that I stand on. Have a blessed honey family. Woo, your house is filled up because that was a word for me. Hallelujah. Mm. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Will speak to us in a voice, or he will speak to us in a word, and he will give that word to someone else just for us. And I got to say, my sister in Christ sent this word just for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to
Hallelujah.
God.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God
yes,
knew
Lord.
That I was going to need my sister to pray us out this morning.
Hallelujah.
So I just say simply, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, your host is all filled up. Wet noodle time in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Minister Shannon, would you please pray us out this morning? Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we just truly appreciate you, Father God. Father God, we thank you most of all because you love us. We thank you, Father God, for your only begotten Son, that you sacrificed his life for us because you love us. And him being obedient unto the Father, he received the cup. So we just thank you on today for your word that went forth, oh God, that it will, hallelujah, pierce somebody's heart, that it will, hallelujah, touch someone's heart, oh God, and that they will open up the doors of their heart unto Jesus and receive him on this morning. We thank you, Father God, that the nation is hearing the word and that the word is feeding them because, hallelujah, we are all God's sheep. And we thank you for lifting up your daughter this morning, waking her up, hallelujah, with her mind on Jesus, her mind on the word of God, the biblical instruction before leaving earth to feed your sheep. Because, hallelujah, your word is life and life more abundantly. And we thank you that we can apply to the word of God, that we can, hallelujah, be revealed. Hallelujah, who Jesus is by the word. And we thank God that it nourishes our hearts, soul, and spirit. And that as we walk the walk and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. Matthew 6:33. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are all our strength and you are all our redeemer. And we're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. And as we say on moving forward, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Hallelujah. I'm filled up, y'all. I'm filled
hallelujah.
Up this morning. As they say, I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus.
Stayed on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sis. I appreciate you, and
amen.
I ask God to continue guiding you, blessing you, and giving you the strength to do what
amen.
You do for the kingdom of God. I told
amen.
Y'all my girl can pray, didn't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This,
Minister Bridget,
this
can I say something real quick?
Here.
I know we got to go. Can I say something real quick? On yesterday,
absolutely.
This is a real quick testimony. Some people know of my vision and some don't. But on yesterday, I was blessed to walk, hallelujah, a long ways without my granddaughters. One on one side of the right side of my arm and one on the left side. Like, you know how God sent Moses, you know, Herb and her. But God had the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me to get to where I needed to go, and that was the house of the Lord. I hadn't walked by myself in 4 years. So God is
wow.
a restorator. He restored my vision and my sight, not only spiritually, but naturally, so that I can make it to the house of the Lord. And I beat everybody there on yesterday, even though I got off
sure
at the wrong stop. Hallelujah. That was God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. Look at God. Won't he do it,
Amen.
Then?
Yes,
won't
he will.
He do it? And, you know, for those that are just joining this movement called Moving Forward, which is biblical study, it's a reading of the Word of God. And I thank God for Dr. Charles Stanley. For those that are just joining us, this words that I read come out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. So I don't know if I'm causing them to be sold out, because when I try to buy one, I bought, but it's on back order because so many folks are buying this Bible. So if you all listen, I still say, pick this Bible up. It is worth every dime, every penny, every dollar you spend, and use it in your meditation arsenal. It is worth it. As for those that don't have it, if you tune in, tell a friend, call a friend, text a friend to tune in and Moving Forward, because they will be hearing for this year this Bible being read over the air across the world. And I thank God for all of you, my international listeners. I see you, and I appreciate you, and I thank God for you, and that you are tuning in to get the word. So praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this we say together, amen. It is a wrap, because we got to get ready for church, Sister Shannon. I love you, my sister, my minister and friend, and a testimony. One day she and I will plan on hosting together where she will be able to give her testimony, because I want to make sure that it gets out there and is able to be publicized for those to hear. You know, and I already know the title, I once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. For God has given my sister not only vision, but spiritual vision. And we will do a testimony day where she will be able to speak and be able to give her testimony. And God will tell us when, and he'll tell us how. You all will be the first to know about it. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for this mighty woman of God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Your hostess finally got a little composure. But Sister Carolyn messed me up this morning. Oh, hallelujah, and I'm thankful for it because I needed that reminder. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. We got to go to church. Amen. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.
Amen. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, Minister Shannon.
It's a wrap.